Seydorf with right and left. Oh, he's gone for goal! Fabulous strike from Clarence Seydorf. Ferociously struck.
New year, same show, same face. Welcome to the first episode of the Football Weekly Podcast of 2024. I'm your host, Reginald Dino. Lots of soccer over the, or lots of football over the Christmas break. I think there was about, every time you turned on the TV, there was games from England going on. I think Germany, Italy, some of Spain took some time off to enjoy the Christmas holidays with their families. But like England, just keep going and going and going. You never give up. All that nonsense, right? So, lots of news coming out. The transfer window opened on January 1st. Not a lot of transfers. We'll talk about a couple of them that did happen. Some other news in England. Another English legend bites the dust as a coach. We'll talk about that. Some news coming out of the world of football this past week of Franz Beckenbauer's passing. We'll touch a little bit about his career and what he's done. And now some other news that will happen during the that's happened during the past week. But so guys, let's start off with the biggest news of this week anyway, is the passing of Franz Beckenbauer. Germany and Bayern Munich and Hamburg and New York Cosmos legend passed away at the age of 78 this past week. A lot of players have come out, and coaches and other people that have, you know, watched football for a number of years have come out and given their condolences on the passing of their Kaiser. But for those of you that don't know him, if you're younger and you don't know, if Messi and Ronaldo are the only football players you know, there used to be a position called sweeper in football, and that was before we went to a flat back four. I'm old enough to have played it, so part of the reason. Well, I wouldn't say part of the reason, but you grow up watching players like that, and to have a player that's as elegant as Franz Beckenbauer in the back, who is able to play the ball out of the back like he's an attacking midfielder, who can make that cross field pass and pinpoint it on your foot. He was the first of his kind, really. When you think about German center backs, and you think of Lothar Matthäus, who actually played midfield and then moved back to the center back role, and you know, was a ball playing center back. He was one of the first, Franz Beckenbauer, if not the first. I haven't seen every single person play football professionally, so I'm not going to say he was the first, but I'll say he's one of the first that I've seen play the ball out of the back. He was so skillful and so, like I said, elegant on the ball. It was a joy to watch, especially in that time when the center backs were just big, strong, tall, you know, as the English like to say, hard men. They would just run you over and kick the ball as far as they can kick it just to get it out of the danger. He was the type of guy that would, you know, look for the pass, look to combine 1-2s and play out of the back. So if you haven't watched Beckenbauer, go back and on YouTube as your friend, go watch some of his play. I can guarantee you, as he was back then, he could most definitely play in football times now, for sure, and be probably one of the best defenders out there. One of the only three players, or one of the only three members of a fraternity that have won the World Cup as a coach and won as a player. I know Didier Deschamps is one other one with France, and I believe it was Zagallo. Mario Zagallo, that's the other one. So there's three of them that have won the World Cup as a player and a coach, and he's one of them. Runner-up in 1966 on a very controversial goal that, if you ask certain people, went in. If you ask the rest of the world, it didn't go in, but whatever. Ask the Scottish. Runner-up against England. Too bad we didn't have goal line technology then, and they would have absolutely nothing to say, but Won the World Cup in 1974 as a player, and then won in Italia 90 with that West German team that beat Argentina in the final. Came over to the NASL just as Pelé did, and they won the league and won everything. 3 years running, I think 77, 78, and then 1990, I believe, they won everything. One of the first defenders to win the Ballon d'Or. If you look at Ballon d'Or now, if Messi and Ronaldo aren't in the runnings, they just don't give out the award. So to be a defender and win Ballon d'Or, I know Fabio Cannavaro did it in 06, I believe. First defender that I know that's won Ballon d'Or, you know, as a defender, which is a great feat because, you know, they only give the Ballon d'Or to attacking players. Again, if you haven't watched him play, I know you can't watch him live, obviously, because he was 78 when he died anyway. But go back, use YouTube. YouTube's your friend. Watch Dirk Kuyt, Franz Beckenbauer play. You will be amazed at what he was doing in that era of football. Bayern Munich legend, obviously, won the league. I think won the Bundesliga when Bayern Munich was handling everybody as they are now. Won it with Hamburg as well. Bayern Munich have just been on a tear since his times. So I don't know really how hard it is to coach there, but hey, whatever. You got to do the business anyway. I'm just kidding. It's a shot at a certain somebody. Everybody out there will know who I'm talking about, but whatever. So guys, I mean, going from one manager, World Cup winning manager and even Bayern Munich manager to another bunch of managers. And we've had some news this past week, or maybe 2 weeks ago, I'm not sure, during the Christmas break. However, Wayne Rooney was relieved at his duties at Birmingham City. 15 games, 2 wins. Now, I had a question to some English supporters. And that question to the English supporters are, why are the English so dead bent on getting one of their English legends to become a great coach? Because they failed with Frank Lampard. And listen, when they're out coaching, if there's an English player out there that wants to go and coach, okay, and hear me out, it's not just former English players that go out and fail. Thierry Henry failed. Okay, I get it. It's fine. But I'm one. You don't hear anything about Thierry Henry coaching and failing or becoming a coach. You always hear, well, he was a great player, but can he coach? You know, can he provide tactics to win games? You always hear that. When Wayne Rooney gets a position, it's, yeah, he's gonna be a great coach because blah 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 X Y Z for Sir Alex Ferguson, blah blah blah, David Moyes, rah rah rah. He's gonna be a great coach, and I don't see it. I don't see it. I don't see how English media, English supporters can look at someone like Wayne Rooney and say, yeah, it's going to be a great coach. Why? What's the background? Failed at DC United in the States in an easier league than the English Championship. So no ratings there. But then turns around and gets a job at Birmingham. Or did he coach Derby or something first, and then went to DC and then came back? Didn't do anything at Derby. Didn't do anything at DC United. You gave him another chance at Birmingham. He's probably going to get another 2 chances to coach some team in England, and I don't know why. When certain coaches are out there, they get 1 chance, and that's it for them. They have to go coach somewhere else. Same with Steven Gerrard, greatest midfielder in the world. Went and coached Rangers. Okay. At that time, it was a one team league. At that point, won the league 3 or 4 times in a row, I guess, and came to Aston Villa. And now that you need tactics, you fail. And we're not even going to talk about Frank Lampard, because Frank Lampard's just getting chance after chance after chance after chance. I think he's finally given up the ghost now. You never know. Maybe he pops up. After, you know, if Nuno doesn't work out at Forest, maybe he pops up there. I don't know. But it just in the realm of English coaches, there's not one good one. And you can say Eddie Howe is a good coach. I don't think so. A good coach can sustain that. I think Newcastle is a one-hit wonder. were able to get into the Champions League last year because nobody saw them coming. It can kind of be unparalleled to Arsenal. Nobody saw them coming, so they were able to do what they did. But now that they've been figured out, you see the decline right now. And Newcastle fans will complain about injuries and this, that, and the third. Everybody's got injuries. We've said this a million times. But there isn't really a good English coach out there. Southgate stinks. Eddie Howe, whatever. But who after that? And English, they're so dead. They have to have the greatest coach in the world. They have to. And they're trying. They're trying their hardest to get him. And they can't. No English manager has ever won the English Premier League. And I say English because if you say that to an English person, they'll say Sir Alex Ferguson. He's Scottish. It's part of the UK. So is England. So we clump them together. No, I'm sorry. I don't take that. No English manager has ever won the EPL. Right now, every English manager is either in the Championship or fighting relegation. So we'll leave you on that point with that, because that's telling. To me, that's telling. I wish when the Champions League draw came, well, when we were doing the show and I was mentioning the teams that are going to be in the round of 16, I put up a graphic. I should have, and I regret this, because now you're going to look at me and say, yeah, sure, buddy. I regret not doing this, but I could have bet everything, the camera, the mic, the mixer, the computer, everything that you see here, I would have given to you. Every single thing I would have given you here if Manchester City did not draw Copenhagen. I knew it was going to happen. And again, I should have said it, and I wish I did. It was only after we did the show that I figured, oh, I forgot to give my predictions of what the draws would be. And I look, as soon as I saw Copenhagen, I said, that's who Man City's going to get. Another walkthrough for that. There's a funny thing out there, and I saw it today, actually, when I was putting this thing together. They had it's the round of 16, so they put R16, but if you read it as words, it says rig, rig, which is, hey, you know, I wish Arsenal got Copenhagen. I wish, but we give it to the team with the biggest bank account, I guess. I don't know. Biggest envelope, biggest briefcase. I don't know. I don't know who we give it to. But anyways, if we look at the draws here, yeah, Porto, Arsenal, Napoli, Barcelona, which looks pretty good, actually. PSG, Real Sociedad. The way that PSG is playing right now, Real Sociedad will probably give them a good run. If you watch La Liga, which I urge you guys to do, because we'll talk about a Super Cup game today between Real Madrid and Atletico Madrid. That was fantastic. It ended up 5-3, but that's not the reason it was fantastic. Just because there's 8 goals in a game doesn't make it the best thing since sliced bread. When that game was 0-0, it was probably the best game I've seen all year. That's my New Year's dad joke. We have Inter and Atletico Madrid, which is probably going to be a great game as well. That's a great tie. PSV, Borussia. You never know. PSV is flying in the Dutch league. Yeah, that's right. We're going to, you know what? We'll leave the Ajax watch for next week again. I think they slipped up in the league over the Christmas break as well. I know they lost. I think they lost in the Dutch Cup or whatever. I think they did, but we'll revisit that next week. Lazio, Bayern Munich. It should be a straight cold shot for Bayern Munich against Lazio. Copenhagen, Manchester City, shocking draw, and Leipzig, Real Madrid. But getting into the ties that you really, well, for me anyway, or Football Weekly is going to be really, really have their eyes on is going to be this Arsenal Porto, because last Europa League, we were drawn against Sporting Lisbon. And everybody was looking past, oh, Sporting Lisbon, no problem. Oh, yeah, and we all know what happened in that tie. So, and I'm not looking forward to playing Porto. I'm really not looking forward to playing Porto. But it's going to be a tough two legs. That game in Portugal is going to be tough. People don't think so, but people don't watch Portuguese soccer. if you don't watch the leagues where teams are from, you're going to think, oh, well, these guys should beat them because they have this and they have that. Yeah, but you don't watch. You don't watch Italy. You don't watch Spain. You don't watch Portugal. You don't watch Germany. So this game, to me, is pull up your socks, tie your shoes, and you better play because these guys will beat you. They will beat you. Inter Atletico is another game that we'll be watching. That's that looks like a very interesting tie. The leaders in Italy against what looks like fifth place, I believe, in La Liga. But the way Atletico plays, it's great to watch. And that's pretty much it for games that I would, and maybe the PSG Sociedad, because you'll be surprised. If you want me to give you a prediction, Real Sociedad beats them over two legs. That's my prediction. I'm not going to predict Arsenal Porto because my heart says one thing, my brain says another, and it's opposite. So one part of me has them as Arsenal coming out in the round of 16. I believe Barcelona will go through against Napoli, which will be a tough draw as well. I don't think Atletico Inter, I don't know, it's a toss-up for me. I believe PSV will beat Borussia Dortmund, Bayern Munich will beat Lazio, Copenhagen will beat Manchester City will beat Copenhagen, and I think Real Madrid will get by Red Bull Leipzig. So the only one I really don't have a score line in on who could win, because it is really a toss-up, is the Inter Atletico tie. So that's the last 16 of the Champions League, which starts next month. It's down to the nitty-gritty now. It's down to the nitty-gritty now. So you better have your scoring boots on if you intend on going through. Now that the away goals rule is gone, you're gonna see some proper football now. Hopefully. Speaking of one of the teams that's in the Champions League, and they're playing, like I said, they're playing against Atletico Madrid. Tejan Buchanan, Canadian international, playing at Club Bruges, I believe, in Belgium, made a transfer in the Christmas break period to Inter Milan. So it'll be very interesting to see how he's being used at Inter Milan, how Inzaghi uses him there. To come into the top team in Italy and playing probably the best football in Italy. How he's going to break into the lineup would be very interesting to see. I hope he does get some run in the Champions League. I don't think he's cup tied. If Club Bruges was in Champions League, I can't remember, but I don't think he's cup tied. But if he is, okay, he should be getting run in the league games, especially the weeks leading up to Champions League games. So I want to congratulate Tejan Buchanan, Canadian international, on making a very big move to a very big club, a very storied franchise. I know Joe would hate me saying that, but it's Inter Milan. And now we have an Inter Milan scarf up here. So in a couple of weeks, you'll be seeing the theme of all the scarves. But we do have an Inter Milan scarf here, but congratulations to Tejan Buchanan. There's a lot of people here in Canada, especially in the Toronto area, that are very, you know, excited and can't wait to see what he's able to do in Serie A this year. We're flying through this show today, absolutely flying. So today, guys, there was a game today, which I had circled on my calendar. Real Madrid versus Atletico Madrid. I did not know it was a Super Cup game. I thought it actually was a league game, but it was a Super Cup game. So I was ready to see, you know, some of the backups play, but it was the semifinals and both teams started their starting 11. And this, if you have the opportunity to go back and watch this game, the first half was incredible. I believe it finished 2-2, the first half. And again, it's not because of the goals that makes it great. It's not the goals. It's the play. It's the being able to keep the ball and not give it away or have someone have a bad touch, and the speed of the touches and the control of the touch and the one touch play Nobody takes two or three touches. It's on my foot, it's gone. It's on my foot, it's gone. And now gone. And it's the movement that they make, the smart runs you see. And teams will have the ball. Both those teams had the ball for maybe 2-3 minutes each attack, and they never gave it away. And they always got an opportunity to score, whether they missed the net or the goalie saved it, whatever it is. It always ended up with a shot on net or, like I said, over the net, whatever, an opportunity. Okay. And it's not the fact that there's bad defense or anything like that, why it was such a high scoring game. It's the fact that the pinpoint accuracy of the attackers was just, it's out of this world. And again, for the 150th time, I'm not saying La Liga is better than any league in the world. I prefer to watch La Liga. That's just my preference. I really wish the talking heads that have the attention of everybody out there would, you know, say there's other leagues other than the EPL out there. I know it has the most money. It has the most money. It has the best players, if you want to say that. But it has the best players because it has the most money. Would you rather play in, and for an example, would you rather be Victor Osimhen playing in Napoli for whatever it is per week, 80,000 euro per week, or would you rather come to Chelsea and make 120 million pounds per week? That's what attracts the best players. It's not the play. For me, when I'm looking at it, it's not the play. It's the paycheck, the bank account, everything like that. Do you think the play is better in Saudi Arabia or China when players were going to China? Do you think the play was better when Arnautovic went to China? Do you think the play was better there, or was my bank account the fattest it's ever been? Same in Saudi Arabia. You see players, 21-year-olds, gone. They were talking about, if you watch the game today, Saudi Arabians, the game was in Saudi Arabia, Atletico Madrid and Real Madrid. It was in Saudi Arabia. And Toni Kroos was getting booed every single time he touched the ball. So I'm sitting there watching, and I'm like, oh, man, what did Toni Kroos do now? So I got on my phone to find out why they're booing him. And they're booing him because there was a player there. There was a player, forget his name. I think his last name is Viega. 21 years old. He has the world at his feet. He's probably going to be one of the best players in Europe if he stays in Europe. He decided to move to Saudi Arabia to play. It was rumored that he was moving to Saudi Arabia to play. And Toni Kroos said, what are you doing? You're like, you're going to be one of the best players, best midfielders in Europe. Like, why would you go play there now? And when the Saudis heard this, they, Toni Kroos is there now. Now they boom, because I don't think he ended up signing. I found out what the whole story was, but I don't think he ended up signing for that team in Saudi Arabia. So now every time he touched the ball, he got booed. And that's the reason why. So, to my point, is this football better in Saudi Arabia? Or again, is my bank account the fattest it's ever been? Right. So, again, if you have the opportunity to replay games from today, watch that game. It ended up 5-3. Antoine Griezmann's goal. Mendy's goal. Morata's goal was garbage. It was a mistake by Kepa and Rudiger. Rudiger's goal was good. I believe another defender on Atletico Madrid had off a corner kick header. But again, it's not the goals that make it good. It was just the way that it was played. It was tactically good to watch. It was well defended. And it's just the flow of the play was just, it wasn't stop, start, stop, start, stop. It was just flowing. The ball, the other team did not get the ball until, you know, the other team missed an opportunity. At most points of the game, I'm not talking about every single time, but at most times in the game where it's opposite in some leagues, where it's a giveaway. Every three passes is a giveaway because the game's too fast. But anyways, we'll talk about that. Transfer windows opening up. Well, it's already open. Nobody's really doing anything. I don't know. Winter transfer window, I don't know. I think they should just make the summer transfer window a little bit longer and just bypass the winter transfer, because nothing happens in the winter, usually. The way money's flowing now, no one has the money. And the way teams are valuing their players. Nobody has the money to pay for that. Just before the transfer window, Napoli slapped a 130 million euro release clause on Osimhen. So now you got to pay 130 million euros for him, which is probably about 110 million pounds. And then you got to pay him and all of this stuff. So that transfer turns into what? Almost 200 million? Who has that? Well, Chelsea, City, I get it. I don't think City's going to be making any purchases anytime soon with all the scrutiny they're under right now, which they should be under right now, which doesn't seem that they are. Everton's under more scrutiny than Manchester City, but whatever. We'll finally find out what's going to happen to Manchester City in 2027, because that's when the trial is slated to start. Everybody that's involved in all the scandals and all the cheating before that will be long gone by then, but whatever. The people and the players and the coaches that are there at that time, well, they'll be the ones that are made to suffer while the other guys skate away into the clear blue yonder, right? So, you know, you're looking at teams like Arsenal that you hear the rumors and they're looking for midfielders and defenders, and they've been looking for midfielders and defenders for 3 years. They've bought midfielders and defenders. They need a striker. They need someone to score. They played three games and scored one goal. And this is where we get to Champions League time. If you're not scoring against guys, teams like Porto, you're not going to win, because they will score against you. They will score against you. So if you're not scoring and firing, or have your striker, whoever midfielder you have playing striker, you will lose. You need an out and out striker. People are still telling me I'm crazy. I still want Dusan Vlahovic from Juve to come. Chelsea are in the runnings to get Victor Osimhen, so maybe some of their strikers might be available for sale if they're ready to give up on Armando Borja. I'll take him. I will take him. Ivan Toney looks like he's going to be priced out of a move. Brentford wants $100 million for Ivan Toney. What planet are we on right now? So if Armando Borja is available and Dusan Vlahovic is available for $50 million, I think if you can afford to swing both of those, that's what you bring in. Ivan Toney's not going to change the way that Arsenal plays. He's not going to change anything that's happening out there. Dusan Vlahovic is a dog. I don't know. I love watching him play. People think I'm crazy, but I think in Arsenal's system, he'll score a lot of goals. So we also had a rumor about Kylian Mbappe, who's finally agreed to join Real Madrid. It's just funny. Whenever I hear the rumors, the clickbait, or read the clickbait headlines, or hear the clickbait rumors, oh, I got to hear about that. Let me play the video on YouTube to see what's going on. It's all clickbait. It's Kylian Mbappe has agreed to join Real Madrid. Kylian Mbappe has agreed personal terms with Real Madrid. And it's just like, yeah, but your rights belong to PSG. So if PSG doesn't want to sell you, who cares what you agree? It doesn't matter if you agree personal terms with anybody. If they don't want to sell you, you're not going anywhere. So I always find that funny, and I read that, or I see it on YouTube, and I'm supposed to click it, and I don't care if Real Madrid and Kylian Mbappe came to an agreement on salary and all this stuff. If the price isn't what PSG wants, they're not going to sell you. It doesn't matter, right? So, would he look good at PSG? He'd look good everywhere, I think. He'd look good on any team. Oh, sorry, not PSG, on Real Madrid. Yeah, he'd look good on any team. And how far that team has fallen as far as the amount of the players that they've had in the past, with Messi and Neymar and Mbappe and even Verratti, who I believe is in Saudi Arabia, making his bank account fatter. But look how far they've fallen. And you have guys that have come in this past transfer window in the summer, and they're now looking to say, they're looking around saying, well, what's going on here? Asensio looking to leave. Carlos Soler that came from Valencia is looking to leave. They were just there. They were all rumored to be at Arsenal targets, but they decided to go to PSG. And now the last talisman is leaving, is going to be probably going to be leaving the club. To his credit, Kylian Mbappe did come out and say, listen, I don't know where this rumor started. I don't have any agreement with anybody. I'm a PSG player and that's it. But it's just funny how, you know, it depends. If you believe in where there's smoke, there's fire, or if you're cynical like me and just people trying to get people to click on websites and listen to their YouTube channel and whatnot. But listen to this one for sure. So, guys, there's going to be some game. Arsenal doesn't play until the 20th. They're in Dubai training. But there are games this week. There's big games this week. I think Tottenham plays. Tottenham plays someone. United plays someone this weekend. So there are good games this weekend. I think Germany's back. Spain's back, obviously. Italy's back this weekend. So definitely take in. Definitely take in some of those games this weekend, especially if you don't watch those leagues. If just do yourselves a favor and watch a league you're not familiar with and watch players. I was once one of those guys. I didn't watch. I have the ability to watch every game in the world. I have ability to watch Saudi Arabia. I can watch Ronaldo if I want. I have that opportunity. And I up until about 3 years ago, I didn't. I watched EPL and that's it. And I started watching, I would watch El Clasico and Inter versus Milan and Inter versus Juve. I'd watch those big games from other leagues. I would watch them. But I wouldn't watch Bologna Fiorentina like I did yesterday. I wouldn't watch that game. But I watched that game yesterday and it was, you know, it wasn't Atletico Madrid, Real Madrid, but there were some exciting points in the game. There's some players there that are like, ooh, who's that guy? And how much would he be? And would he fit on my team? And he'd look at the run he made and blah, blah, blah. So do yourselves a favor. If you don't watch, for example, if you've never watched a La Liga game or even France games, I watch Liga as well. If you have the opportunity to watch those games, take one and watch a half, watch 45 minutes and see if you don't watch the second 45 minutes as well. Because again, I was like, EPL or nothing. And now I EPL is probably third on the list of leagues that I would watch. If I wasn't an Arsenal fan, I probably wouldn't watch EPL. I said it. So guys, as usual, you can subscribe to the podcast on all of these platforms. If you've been watching, you know, the saga of me trying to get all this stuff done. So we are on all these platforms now. iHeartRadio was about to get booted until, you know, they pulled up their socks and fixed whatever my issue was. I don't know what it was, but they fixed it. Didn't tell me, but apparently everything's being uploaded there now. So it's there. So thank you, iHeartRadio. We're back. We're back there. But we're on all these platforms. You can subscribe on TikTok and Instagram and Twitter as well. Definitely, you're watching it on YouTube. Definitely on YouTube. Yeah, so subscribe here. It's free. Doesn't hurt to subscribe. Doesn't cost anything to subscribe. Please, guys, it lets me know that people are listening and watching, and it keeps me coming up with more content. And hopefully, in the new year, we'll have some guests on. Trying to work on some getting some guests, and maybe some more live content. But again, we're always working on that stuff. So guys, thanks for watching. We'll catch you next week.